Good afternoon, guys. Welcome to the Mortgage Talks. It's great to see some faces here. Those of you who don't know me, my name is Glenn. I'm part of the staff team here and run these talks. And we're going to be kicking off our series today on those questions. As we think about this question here that you'll see in front of you, how can I be sure of the right way to live? How can I be sure of the right way to live? Now, many of you here today will have a 5-year plan where you've mapped out your goals and ambitions that you'd like to achieve within that time frame. Some of you are looking at me pretty nervous here. You're probably thinking, like, I don't even have a 5-day plan, never mind a 5-year plan. That's okay. Now, the five-year plan that people ask me, I get this question all the time. What's your 5-year plan? It's a really cop-out phrase in certain areas for, you know, in like Northern Ireland, when are you going to have children? You're just married kind of thing. But it isn't just a case of wanting to do this or to do that. I'm sure that you will have steps in place to take if you do have a plan. But with that comes the question, how can you be sure that it's the right way to live your life? Because many of those things will take up time and headspace, be it career goals, success goals, financial goals, or even achievements of any kind that you want to do in life. Now, how can you know that in doing those things, you will get what you want? Just going to pause now. I want everyone to turn to their tables and quickly introduce yourself by going around. Maybe you want to jump over to a table with some people. Just introduce yourself around, share your names, and then chat about this question. You'll find it on your sheets as well. How can you be sure of the right way to live? How can you be sure of the right way to live? Now, I know it's a big question, but answering it will answer how you feel and try to answer it as honestly as possible, and then we'll reconvene in a couple of minutes' time. Over to you guys. Let me interrupt those conversations that you're having. And before we go any further, let me just quickly pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. As we think about this question in more detail, help us to think what the answers are from your word, and help us to see why they are true and worth listening to. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I wonder what conclusions you came onto that question, how can you be sure of the right way to live? Now, are you sure by creating a plan and sticking to it no matter what happens? Is that where you placed your surety? Do you make a plan but be flexible with it and allow for adjustments as you plod along in life? Or, like me, do you wing it each day? Knowing that you can't control the future, and so you live how you feel, and where you end up is due to a higher power telling you that this is where you should be. Now, one thing that may stand out from your brief chat is that many of you will have had a different view on what is your lived out priority when it comes to how you live your life. I overheard someone who was once told to take this pathway. They said this, I was told to work hard in school and get a good job, so I did that. They then said, get married and have a family, so I did that. They then said, get a nice house, so I did that. I've got all the things that I am told to aim for in life. And now I'm sitting here thinking, is this it? Isn't there something more? Now, this advice is not uncommon today, to be told where you should be going. I was chatting with somebody on Thursday last week, and they were bemoaning the amount of podcasts that are out there today, especially the amount of podcasts, and even if you go on social media, the amount of videos made by so-called experts telling you how to live your life. I often find myself scrolling for social media, and I'll come across experts who'll tell me the best way to flip a house in the property market, the best way to invest your money and make as much as possible, or what food you should be eating. Now, the only thing about this is that a lot of these opinions are very conflicting. Take, for example, Stephen Bartlett from Diary of the CEO. He is someone who I really admire because, firstly, like me, he dropped out of university. Secondly, unlike me, he made his millions and then sold his business. Enough said. But his podcast generates, on average, 10 million listeners each month. And he has around 2 million views each month on YouTube as well, per episode. Now, Stephen Bartlett has faced some criticism recently because his podcast has been criticized for spreading misinformation, not from Stephen, but from the guests that he gets on and he allows them to speak. Now, I was looking at the iPaper just last week, and Nick Holton, in his opinion blog, he criticized both Stephen Bartlett, and he actually criticized many other podcasters like Joe Rogan, Theo Vaughn, and Andrew Schultz for their willingness to bring these people on and to treat their opinion as fact. Now, I'm not here to add to the pile of criticisms here, but what it does show us is this. People are searching for something, and they are looking for answers. Even these podcast hosts, which is why they get these individuals on. Now, there is a reason why the likes of these individuals are as popular as they are today. People are searching for direction and a way to live. Or to quote Billie Eilish, people want to know what they were made for. Now, when you Google the best way to live, a whole range of answers pop up. And I would say that there are three major areas that pop up in life. Or to how to live your life. It's about enjoying yourself. It's about improving yourself. And it's about being true to yourself. That is the way to live. And because of this, these three opinions then all say to define meaning is in yourself and all that you do. That is the right way to live. Maybe that's you here. Maybe this is the course that you're following in the way that you live. But say you found the same success that Stephen Bartlett did and that all these others did. Would it give you the direction and purpose that you were looking for? Life can throw us curveballs, and sometimes the path that we choose to follow can lead to dead ends. And even those ways that we follow can look promising and self-fulfilling. But when we get to the end of them, they aren't the remedy that we need. Actor Jim Carrey, he said this, "I think everybody should get rich and famous like I have and do everything that they can ever dream of so that they can see that it's not the answer." So if you met your goals and achievements in life and the destination you got to wasn't what you expected, what would you do? See, this idea from Jim Carrey isn't actually a new one. In fact, this idea was written thousands of years ago in the Bible. Listen to the words of a successful man who gained everything as he too was trying to work out the right way to live. He says this, "Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after the wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun." Now, that's a really interesting phrase, isn't it? To strive after the wind. Now, trying to find a way to follow that seems right, but not even being able to see where it goes, or it never leads anywhere in the end. And so if the answer doesn't come from the inside, then surely it must be found outside of us. If we dedicate ourselves to finding meaning in a place where we feel we belong. Now, I enjoy watching football, and I follow a team, Manchester United. Actually, to tell you the truth, I follow two teams, Manchester United and my local London club, Millwall. Okay, actually, to tell you the truth, I follow three teams. I follow Manchester United, I follow Millwall, and I follow my club back home, Glentoran. Actually, I follow four teams. Now, I could keep going on, but the point is this. Isn't it strange that how here in England, just taking football fans as one example, how people have a strong affiliation with their club, not just in supporting the team, but pumping money into season tickets, football shirts, merchandise, all these things. And they put all their hope in following 11 people chasing a blown up balloon around a pitch. It's weird, isn't it? But it's not just there that we see this happening. Why do people spend hundreds and thousands of pounds for a concert ticket to go and see Oasis or to go and see Taylor Swift as well? They want to be part of something. They want to experience something. They want to belong in a moment to get what they're looking for. But again, the thing is that these things on earth, be it football or any other sport or a concert or an experience of any kind, these things won't last forever. Again, going back to our friend in the Bible, who talked about chasing after the wind. It's all vanity in the end. For a time, it's a cheap thrill, depending on how much you spend on it, let's be honest. Taylor Swift ticket might not be a cheap thrill as such. And then it's over. But it's not just this. You can spend endless hours dedicating yourself to anything on this earth. Be it your work, your career, your endeavor to fight for a meaningful causes like environmentalism, like poverty or political injustice. And they are, some of them are worthy causes. But if that's where you think that the destination will end in hope, then you might be disappointed. See, much like the grand finale of a TV show, life can always feel like it's building up to something. You're watching, you're watching, you're watching, and then when it's over, is that it? Is that the big thing that we were looking for? And then after you finish that TV show, you think, what am I going to do with myself now? How am I going to spend my evenings? Well, you see, the thing is, if we can't find the answers in us here, and we can't find the answers out there, then that means that we can only look above and beyond to somewhere and someone greater than us who will have the answers. 1600 years ago, an African minister called Augustine, he famously wrote these words concerning God. He said, Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find a rest in you. Now, in John's Gospel, we have a biographical account about Jesus Christ. And John, as an eyewitness, wants us to know who Jesus is. Now, I don't know what you make of Jesus, or what you've heard of him, or even your opinion of him. But I reckon that it's safe to say that he is a fascinating character, one that deserves our attention. Just listen to this quote from writer and historian H.G. Wells. He says, I am an historian, not a believer. But I must confess that as an historian, that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in all of history. And at the beginning of his gospel account, John wants to show us, introduce us to Jesus as the one who made everything, as the reason for life. And John also tells us that Jesus came to live on this earth so that we could know him as God. But what might surprise you about Jesus is that he also came to show us the right way to live. In John chapter 14, Jesus speaks to his followers, and in his speech, he offers us a way to know our Creator and a right way to live. Listen to these words in John chapter 14. You can turn along with me, follow along with me on page 43. Turn me to page 43 and we'll look at John 14 together. Jesus says this. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. For were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Now notice how Jesus talks about a destination that he is going to, and where his followers will one day go to as well. Now the destination for us to know is that sense of belonging and to be satisfied by knowing God who made us. Jesus tells his followers that he is going to God and he will prepare a place for them, and one day he will come back to take them to that place. They will know the way to get there and the way to know God. But I don't know about you, but that raises further questions. Because where is this destination exactly that Jesus is going? He's talking about his Father's house here. But where is that exactly? In fact, one of Jesus' followers, Thomas, he asked that question that we're all thinking at this point. And he says in verse 5, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Now, many religions and sects will offer you ideas of how to get to God. And a lot of them will feel like various signposts, each pointing a different way. But the problem is that they all can't take you to the same place, can they? if you're standing at a crossroads and you see signposts going different directions, they obviously don't all end up in the same place, do they? They're all going away from each other in different directions. And usually you take the road that you need to go on, don't you? So how can we know exactly which way we need to go? Well, if there's one thing that you can take away from today, it's this. Jesus tells us that the only way to God is by trusting Him. Jesus says this in verse 6. I am the way. I am the way. There's no other way. No one comes to the Father except through me. John, the writer of this gospel, tells us at the beginning why Jesus came. Jesus came to make God known to us by showing us the way to live and to give peace to our hearts. Look at verse 1 again in chapter 14. Jesus says that here. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Do you see that? If you believe in God, you also believe in Jesus. Now let's flip that around because it works the other way too. To believe in Jesus, that is to follow Jesus and to trust his words, is to believe in God. And Jesus has given a promise to everyone here who believes in him, here in these verses. He's saying that if you believe in him, then the way to God is set for you. Because believing in Jesus equals knowing the way to God, who wants you to know him. But why does it matter that we know God? Can't we just live life our own way and not worry about these things and just worry about these things later? Isn't life more about the journey anyway and not the destination? Well, that leads us to think about that there is nothing beyond this lifetime, and so nothing to look forward to. But let's be honest, who gets on a plane and sits for 10 hours thinking, I can't wait to be in this cramped seat, can I? Now, I'm being facetious here. But the reality is that if God wants you to know him, then the destination is not something that we can just look forward to ahead in time. It is something that we can also enjoy here and now as we get glimpses of it that helps us to look forward to the future. When we get to know Jesus, we get to know God. And the more we know Jesus, the more certain we can be sure of the way to know God. Jesus offers us certainty here in being the way. There's no risk, but it's all reward when we believe in him. And what does this reward look like? Well, what will knowing Jesus as the way lead to? It will lead to inner satisfaction and a sense of peace within you. That's why Jesus says at the beginning of this, let not your hearts be troubled. See, no longer will you seek for answers when you look inside of you, but you will see that Jesus has stilled your heart, which is no longer troubled. It also means that you have a sense of belonging and a place within God's family. John tells us in chapter 1, verse 12, that those who believe in Jesus, they become God's children. They become part of his family. A family that lasts forever. And a place in God's house as well, just as Jesus says here in chapter 14. Jesus says that there is a place for you to be with God. The reason why, as our friend Augustine says, why you were made. You see, we were made to know God and to find our way to him. Jesus makes that possible for us here as he is the way, the only way to know God. Now, if you want to see this for yourself, then we are offering people the opportunity to read the John's Gospel together as part of the group. And in looking at John's Gospel, you can see for yourself what John wants you to know. That is to know Jesus and to believe in him, and to see that he is the right way to live. Well, that's all from me for now. I'm going to hand over to you guys, as there's going to be some questions at your tables. Look at those questions together, discuss those things together, and maybe there's some things that you disagree with that you've heard. Maybe there's some things that's really encouraging. Maybe there's some things you want to look into in more detail. And talk about those things in your tables, or feel free to come and chat to me as well.